T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Come on, Ron, join in. Give us the baritone.
Matty, you take over for me. I can't sing. I don't even know what he's singing. What is he doing?
Ron, join in. Look at Folsy back there,
he's
Ron.
He's got rhythm. To it anyway.
And he's handsome. Both of those things.
And mature now, too.
This song sucks, by the way. It is a little bit catchy. At some point, Folsy,
I know.
Are you going to incorporate the songs that Ron and I gave you for rejoins, intros, whatever they're called in the radio
business? You have no excuse not to.
What's he doing,
you have
Ron?
Had this stuff
it's been
for
4 months.
For months. And I know you were off for 3 of the 4 months.
Yeah.
And we continue to play dentist elevator music with every break. What are we doing? Although that one is catchy. I like that.
What does Mike Tomlin call it? Elevator music.
That's right.
There's a few of them that are catchy, but overall they do need to be changed.
Nameless gray faces singing. They're not even singing. They're playing elevator. That's not even people in a studio. That's just like canned music. Ron, when they made albums, and I might add about 2 weeks ago was the anniversary of the greatest album ever made, Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks. It was one take. He'd go into a studio with a real band, which for people who don't know, that means human beings playing instruments live, and they'd do one take of each song, and boom, you have a brilliant album. Now it's all canned BS, like that stuff we just heard, albeit catchy. I'll admit that. Ron, nothing's the same as it used to be. I don't care if I'm an old man yelling at a cloud.
No,
it's worse now.
You asked me if I still read the papers cover to cover, and there are no papers anymore.
I know.
Things
it was
changed.
An excellent point.
Life has changed.
Do you miss the paper, the physical sports page?
I miss it. I miss the ink on my hands.
Yeah.
I miss reading it and then having to wash my hands. I miss the paper in the morning when I head to the
all of that.
Head to the cathedral, if you will. I do. I miss it terribly. I used to say nobody under the age of 40. Now it's under the age of 50. Probably doesn't know what a paper is.
Folsy, are you of an age where when I grew up, and I bet you Ron will say the same, the newspaper would come to the house and I would have to fight my dad or ask my dad if I could read the sports page first, just grab the sports page. Is that how it was in your house, Ron?
Yeah, that's how I learned how to read. I know that.
Beaver County Times was the paper of choice?
Back then it was the Beaver Falls News Tribune, and also we got the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. One of America's great newspapers.
We got the Buffalo
News,
but no, it was the morning paper? The Courier Express we got in the mornings, and it was the biggest moment of the day. Did you even live that life, or you were already a computer guy?
I did a little bit at the very beginning. We would get the paper. My dad would get the Post-Gazette. I think he got the Trib for
with
a while,
with Ron's mug and columns
in it. Yeah, oh yeah. And I would do the same thing. I would go right into the sports section, rip that thing out, throw away the rest of the paper because I didn't care about the news or anything else.
I was thinking about this. You talk about my column and my mug. I had an anniversary just passed in January. I started like January 1st, 2nd, writing a column.
Yeah.
34 years.
Wow.
My first column would have been in the January 2nd or 3rd of 1989. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
In the Post-Gazette. It was always the Post-Gazette for columns?
No, as a columnist, yeah. I left the press to go to the Post-Gazette in January of 88. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it was January of 89 I left to go to the Post-Gazette. I wrote my first column January of 90. So I guess it's 33
years. 33
years. 33
years. Congratulations.
How about that?
It's been a hell of a run.
It's been a hell of a run.
It's been a hell of a run. Do you like that horse?
But the highlight.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good for the top of the show.
The highlight has been these last few years working with you. You know? I mean,
even the compliments get undermined here.
We got another big anniversary coming up here. Next, a week from tomorrow, will be our 13-year anniversary at this station. 13 years. I told Folsey, remember Horse put together a nice little package?
Yes.
He's got to try to find that. Highlights of the first.
Oh, we will. Unless they've been,
I hope he put it somewhere safe and secure.
Lost in all the commotion
around. You believe you and I, not together, but we've been doing a show here for 13 years.
Hell of a run.
Hell of a run. I can still see the parking lot out here that almost ended you before you really got started. He'd have beat the hell out of you.
Likely, yeah. They said the station might not last a month or a year, and here we are 13 years later, not just really the whole station thriving.
This show
absolutely thriving, Folsey. We're not allowed to mention any numbers, but I did notice the numbers went up when you were gone. Ron, did you notice that?
Dramatically.
It was incredible.
And I credit Seth Don't Call Me Sean Myers.
I give Steiny most of the credit for that.
Harry Callis, even though Harry waves the callers right on through. Jolie Nelson.
Allison and Allison Park, Harry Callis. Come on in.
Give credit.
Join the show.
Give credit to everybody but Steiny.
Yeah. No, Folsey, the numbers started to really thrive when you were still here. Let's point that out right now.
Yeah,
thoughts? Feelings?
No.
Statements?
I love it.
When I first came to Pittsburgh, and moved into Shadyside is where I first lived. 5823 Holden Street, orange indoor outdoor carpeting, basically up in the attic.
Wow.
It was horrific. But one of the highlights of my day would be to get the Post Gazette. I don't remember. This was November of 89. It would have been Smizek. Where was Smizek then? At the press? I don't remember who was where.
I think he was at the press at that point.
Collier was at the press.
They all ended up at the Post Gazette.
They did, but in November of 89 at the press?
You see, I was at the press, but not a columnist. I was doing
Kiden would have been Post Gazette then?
Yes.
And it,
Paul Jays, remember Paul Jays?
Yes. It was a highlight of my day to read these guys. That's what I loved. It helped get me through the early days. I had no friends in Pittsburgh. I still don't all these years later. But I knew one person in all of Pittsburgh. It was a very lonely time in November of 89. And one of the things that got me through is I always loved reading sports pages. And honestly, Pittsburgh, I think, has a tradition of some of the great sports columnists and great sports coverage. And I'm a connoisseur of it all. Any place I've been and reading around the country, you're lucky, I think, people here, to have read the people we've read and had over the years, Ron. Do you agree?
I totally agree. I mean, I grew up in this city, too. I go back to remember Al Abrams, who was considered one of the gods of the business, and then obviously music and Kiden, and there have been so many good ones over the years. It's been fun to be a part of. It's a great sports city. I was thinking about this the other day, how much fun they're having in Philly and in Kansas City. We've certainly had our share of luck here. Who's it? Cleveland, Houston, Jacksonville have never been to a Super Bowl, I believe. Those three cities. I think that's the only three. And Houston and Jacksonville.
Detroit?
Detroit. There's four.
Houston and who?
Jacksonville and Cleveland.
Cleveland and Detroit.
And Jacksonville, Houston, kind of an asterisk because they haven't been around forever.
Well, think about it. I moved here in late November of 89. Since then, how many championships here?
Yeah.
Five for the Penguins? Right?
Yeah. Started in the early 90s.
And two for the Steelers since then, or two?
Two.
That's seven championships.
None for the Pirates, although they had some division titles.
I mean, even the Pirates, I saw two pretty good runs with really fun teams. Granted, there was 20-year droughts in between, but even them have done more than, like, teams where I grew up have done. Except the Bills did have that nice run. They really did.
It's a great sports town. We're very lucky to be doing this in this city.
I can't believe it, Ron. It was almost fate that brought me here. I loved the Pirates as a kid because we didn't have a baseball team, and sometimes I would sit at PNC Park and think, am I really covering a Pirates game? Think of your little self, the savvy young news hound a little 8-year-old Joe Starkey putting my own Stargell stars on posters in my room for the Pirates after certain games.
I had a few Stargell stars that he actually gave to me.
Really?
And I don't know whatever happened to them. I mean, this tiny little things. He gave them to me. He gave them to everybody.
That's pretty cool.
The captain.
Well, one of the better writers, reporters, columnists, really, in this town for a long time, our very own Jerry Dulac at the Post-Gazette writes today, Steelers want Mitch Trubisky back, but it's a complicated situation. Jerry talks about the $8 million in salary, the $10.6 million cap hit. That would make him among the highest paid backups in the league, if not the highest. Talks about whether Trubisky will want to be here. Talks about the idea of a restructure in order to lessen the cap hit. Honestly, in the end, it sounds way too complicated. I don't think it needs to be that complicated. I can't believe it could be more simple with a backup quarterback. You're under contract. We're going to pay you the money already for next year. And we have the luxury of having a starter who we don't have to pay any money yet, so we can afford this. It's only $10 million. The cap's going up again at a record pace this year. Ron, to me, it's a simple case, not a complicated one. Bring him back.
You have said it all along, and I wrote this a couple weeks ago. It just makes total sense to bring him back. The price isn't exorbitant. He's shown he can do well as a backup, better than he did as a starter. Say what you will about Matt Canada's offense, but he knows it, and all indications are he worked well with Pickett. You know, if he doesn't work well with Pickett, that could be a problem, but it seems like he does. And we're both all in favor of bringing him back. And I've heard all along that they want to, but I don't know we've seen guys be able to bitch their way out of town here before.
Yes.
What he feels about this, but I have
what Trubisky feels.
Yeah. But I have to think that it makes sense to bring him back, even at that price. And Dulac pointed out that you can't just restructure because he's in the last year. You have to give him more years, make him voidable. I mean, there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hope he's back. I don't know how many other guys are going to be better out there than him, and I don't know how many other guys out there you're going to be able to find, A, better than him, and B, cheaper than him. I don't know that you're going to be able to find that combination. So why not keep him?
Exactly.
Unless he becomes a destructive force in the room.
Well, here's the thing.
And I've never heard that to be the case.
Yeah, nobody's heard that. Jerry said that wasn't the case yet. And how would that serve him? It's one thing for LeGarrette Blount to quit the team.
Yeah, he ends up in
and go to another team. Say what you will about the Steelers these days. They're still a very powerful organization with very influential people in their organization. Would it serve Mitch Trubisky to sabotage the team?
In his own case, he's got to play and make money for next year if he wants a contract.
He's not going to do that. He's not a guy that's going to do that. Although, what you said is true. Tomlin's "we want volunteers, not hostages" policy has complicated things a little bit overall, because anybody who wants to cry a little seems to get their way out of town.
Right.
I just don't see that serving Trubisky, and I don't see him as being the kind of guy who's going to do it. I don't. And if he starts with it, then you have to put your foot down and say, listen, you're going to harm yourself here.
You're playing for your next contract.
Yeah. And plus, he's in a situation here where Kenny Pickett, we have no idea if Kenny Pickett's going to be the Iron Man type or if he's going to be a guy who's susceptible to injury. I don't know.
Concussions already.
Right. We don't know. How can you know about any player at any position until they play a couple of years if they're actually going to be a bad luck injury guy, or whether they're going to play every game? He's one step away from playing, at least a couple games, maybe a lot. I mean, God forbid. I hope Pickett stays healthy, but there's no way of knowing about any player at any position. This is actually a great position for a guy still in his 20s. And if he doesn't see that,
one snap away.
Shame on him if he doesn't see that. Plus, as Dulac pointed out, it'll be the most money he's ever made in 1 year.
And would he go anywhere else and no one else is going to give him a starting job.
No.
So he's going to be a backup wherever he goes.
Yes.
So why not here? He knows the offense, such as it is.
Yeah.
Why not here? And seemingly a good relationship with Pickett.
Yeah, this is obvious best case scenario for both sides. It really is. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world. And like you're saying, I mean, it's not like he goes somewhere else and it competes really for a starting position. I don't really know if any team would really bring him in with a quarterback competition like he was last year. I don't know if he gets that same scenario with what he showed this past season. So if he stays here, he backs up Kenny Pickett again, Joe. Like, we don't know how injury prone Kenny Pickett is. He got banged up a couple of times in his rookie year. Maybe that's a theme with him.
You don't know. That's the whole thing. And here's the other thing that Jerry brought up is, you know, how does Trubisky react to this, what he went through this year? I'm sorry, but Mitch Trubisky, this was the only team in the NFL that would have brought in Mitch Trubisky and let him go unchallenged from spring to the first game for their number one quarterback spot, in spite of drafting a guy. They drafted a guy in the first round. And by the way, shame on him and his agent if they didn't realize that was a possibility, stated or not. He was never brought here as the long-term answer. Therefore, by definition, it was always possible they were going to draft a quarterback. He has no beef here. They said, Mitch, it's your team. And then they didn't even run a competition in spring or summer. And he got four starts, a quarter of a season, to revive his career and to prove himself as the starter, and he failed. And if he doesn't acknowledge that he at least had something to do with that, then again, shame on him, Ron.
No, I hear you, and I feel the same way, but we're not in his shoes. I don't know what Tomlin told him. I don't know if Tomlin told him he was going to be the starter all year, that the plan was to bring along Pickett real slowly and let him learn. I'm not saying he's right, but from what my understanding is, he clearly feels like he was deceived by Tomlin. And if you feel that way, you're not going to be happy. You and me looking at it from the outside, man, you had every opportunity. That doesn't necessarily mean what Tomlin told him and how his mind processed
that. What could Tomlin possibly have told him where he feels deceived? You're going to be the starter for the whole year? That would be an act of insanity. What if Trubisky wound up like Nate Peterman and threw 12 picks and no touchdowns?
Don't forget about Nate Peterman.
In the first 3 weeks. There's no way Tomlin told him, you're our starter for the whole year. No coach would tell a quarterback that, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But he might have told him, hey, listen, this is your job. We want Pickett to bring along slowly.
Sure.
And then 3.5 in the games, they pulled the plug on him.
Yeah.
And he takes that personally.
Sure. Any quarterback would.
Anybody would. And, I mean, that's what I said. I think your theory and the way you explained it is right on, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's buying it.
True, but his beef is not legitimate, whether he's buying it or not, and he needs to get over it or he's going to harm his own career. So who's ever advising him better advise him to take the $10 million, shut his mouth, come to training camp, and be the backup.
Yeah, if anything, he's making good money.
One play away.
Yeah.
I mean, where else is he going to get the money he's making this year even? Is another team going to offer him an $8 million base salary to come in as the backup?
I don't know about that. That's a lot for a backup. It is.
Yeah.
So he can make more money here, advance his career, possibly. At worst, sit around like he did in Buffalo, which advanced his career because he didn't play bad. I just think it's a good situation. He might have a beef, but somebody's got to tell him it's not a legitimate one. It's just not.
It sounds to me like this will work out.
Woo-hoo! It's the Trubisky train.
It sounds to me like this will work out, that he will be their backup. You know, you make a case why he should want it, and Dulac makes the case that they definitely want him.
That leads that case?
I'm sorry?
Let me read this again.
Did Dulac
make that case?
Yeah, he said they want him.
Okay.
In his first sentence.
I thought Labriola said that. The first sentence was that? Would like nothing more than to maintain the stability of their quarterback.
So they want him, and maybe—
At what price, though?
And maybe, yeah.
It's one thing to say they want him. Do they want him at this price?
Well, if they don't want him at that price, then they'll end up cutting him if he doesn't take the pay cut. But I think I just have a feeling this is going to work out, that both sides will realize that this is the best thing for each.
They should. It seems pretty clear cut, and I also think it would behoove the Steelers to circle this position and then just exit off. It's so simple. It's not complicated.
I told you that Jimmy
Johnson. It should
be simple. Jimmy Johnson book, the guy said, he says, the most important position in football is the starting quarterback, the second most, backup quarterback.
He's right.
And that, to me, that you can't just ignore that position and hope you get somebody in here.
And I'll tell you what else.
You know what you have in Trubisky.
I'll tell you what else is important. Their third quarterback. I counted the number of teams in the AFC that had to dip into their third quarterback.
Like nine.
With all the injuries, yeah.
I did that too when I wrote about this with Trubisky.
Yeah.
I think 10 teams have had the quarterback play all year, just one.
Yeah.
Nine had at least three.
Yes.
Nine had and one, two, San Francisco, Carolina. There were like three teams that had four.
Yes.
Four.
Yes.
It's an important position.
They're dropping like flies. One of the reasons why, I believe, is because defensive coaches are mastering the game, as always, and that the name of the game is to hit the other quarterback and disrupt passing games. That's the name of the game. Everybody's drafting pass rushers. That's what you want. These two teams are in the Super Bowl largely because they harassed other quarterbacks to death, right? Look what Chris Jones did. Joe Burrow never stepped into a throw. And I'm losing my breath in the AFC title game.
You're getting emotional here, Joe.
And we all saw what Reddick did. He knocked their starter out of the game.
Boy, he's a good player.
So everybody wants pass rushers, and that results in more quarterback injuries. It just does. Look at the AFC. Miami went to a third quarterback. The Jets, Cleveland for different reasons. Didn't they dip into Josh Dobbs at least a little bit? I don't
Baltimore.
Remember. Baltimore. With injuries, it just happens.
A bunch had three.
Indianapolis, my God, we had to sit through Nick Foles one night.
Well, and they were sabotaging themselves a little bit, too, along the way, starting Sam Ellinger out of nowhere.
Still haven't hired a coach, have they?
They have not.
Just, is it going to be Jeff Saturday?
I bet you there's internal arguments right now where it seems like the owner wants Saturday and other people are saying, have you lost your mind? Which I think happened a long time ago,
Arizona,
but that's beside the point.
Arizona hasn't named a coach, right? Looks like Brian Flores said, you know what, I'm going to go to the defensive coordinator with Minnesota.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Let's talk about whether that was a smart move. We can take a little trip around the NFL here. But
how about Sean Payton? Putting his foot down a little bit in Denver yesterday.
Let's talk about that.
That was a very interesting comment that he made.
There's another Steeler-related tentacle to that Broncos story, I think. Let's talk about that coming up. Twitter, you can follow along. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Dulac, by the way, mentioned Jacoby Brissett, which we've mentioned in here. So, Ron, just real quickly here, if they could guarantee themselves Jacoby Brissett at a cheaper rate, and I'm not saying they would tamper. God knows, nobody ever tampers in the NFL.
Of course
but
not.
If they could guarantee themselves Jacoby Brissett, sign me up. Otherwise, I don't see a lot of guys that would make this situation better and cheaper, you know?
No, and would he come any cheaper? I don't know.
Good question. We'll explore the Pittsburgh side of the Denver story coming up next on Cookin' Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Folsey, are you interested in going to a pork rind festival with me?
I sure am.
You think Ron would join us? Carl Eller certainly would. Do you have that clip? Anytime I need cheered up, I still Can hardly believe that I got to ask the legendary Carl Eller his opinions on pork rinds and his answer, Ron.
How about Joe Green?
Last year. I mean, Carl Eller's answer was a little better. Let's hear that, Folsy. If you have it. Carl, do you like pork rinds?
I sure do.
You believe that?
That is beautiful.
Ron, I got asked today in the mailbag, just as a quick aside here, the greatest Super Bowl commercial ever. And I immediately, I didn't study it, but I immediately came back with the Joe Green Coca-Cola commercial, right?
Yep. Way back when. Coke and a smile.
You can't beat that one.
Thanks, Joe.
Did anybody else have one that off the top of your head? Betty White Snickers commercial?
I used to love all the Budweiser with the dogs.
The Budweiser ones,
with dogs in it. I just love those.
Yeah.
And the Clydesdales.
But, I mean, Joe Green for
I think that's the greatest one ever.
Because of his reputation of being Mean Joe Green.
Right.
And he turns around and scowls at that kid and then, hey, kid, throws him the jersey.
I mean, I can't get enough of that one. Anything else come to mind, Folsy?
Not really. I mean, I know there's been great ones over the years, but none of them, like, stick out. Like, I can't remember them. I know that I enjoyed them at the time, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. Well, same for me. And that tells me all I need to know that even when I wasn't living here back in 79, that came out, that one always jumped off the screen because of what Ron said.
Yeah.
I guess the irony of it, right? Is irony the right word there, Ron?
Yes, it is.
It was brilliant use of irony. And Joe Green, one of the most prominent defenders of all time.
His smile just lit up the TV.
Which actually, before we get into Sean Payton, leads me to another topic, Ron. Did you see where Lawrence Taylor put together his top five defenders of all time?
He just had a birthday, I think, the other day.
Did you guys see that?
I did not see his list.
Let's see what I'll read you his list. Opinion.
Can I guess on a couple of them?
Absolutely.
It's high time for lists.
Why don't you both guess?
Everybody's making a list. Each get
five guesses. We'll see if between you, you can get LT's top five.
Aaron Donald?
No.
That's interesting.
Lawrence Taylor?
I don't think he was asked not to rank himself.
Oh, okay.
That's two.
Defenders, we're saying.
Defensive players of all time, Nader.
J.J. Watt?
No, but that's a good guess.
I'm guessing the guys that have won three players of the year, and that was Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, and LT.
Joe Green?
No, and that's a point of contention with some people. Ron?
Man, I can't believe.
Ron. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My bad. He does have himself first, so the other four.
Okay.
Good call on his part, and ego should not keep him from doing that. Rod Woodson?
Rod Woodson. Nope.
Reggie White.
Yes.
There you go.
He has Reggie White number two.
Deion?
He has Deion number four. Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
So we got two more.
Two more, one of which is an old timer. So
Bednarik?
No, I'm going to give you this one.
Butkus?
If you want to keep guessing, go for it. Defensive lineman on a famous defensive line.
Alan Page?
Nope. Or Carl Eller.
Or Carl Eller. Randy White?
Nope.
Wow.
But Folsy, more guess. Deacon Jones.
Okay.
And then the last one, you want a clue?
Yeah.
Safety.
Ronnie Lott?
Yes. Ronnie Lott. LT. Reggie White, Deacon Jones, Deion Sanders, and Ronnie Lott. I can't speak to Deacon Jones. I respect the pick. I've seen the highlights. But I'll give you my top five, Ron. Why don't you give me yours off the top of your head? Top five defensive players you've ever seen. And Folsy, please join in. Even though you're younger, perhaps that'll skew your vision in the right way.
I would put Aaron Donald on that list. I would put J.J. Watt on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I go back a long way, but, I'd put Mel Blunt, to me, the greatest cornerback of all time.
I love that pick.
On that list.
I love that pick.
On that list. And then Reggie White's hard to top. Bruce Smith is another guy.
I would have liked to have put Bruce Smith on there and J.J. Watt, but here's my top five in order. And I'm going to change.
And LT number one for me, by the way.
Yeah. I'm going to change my last pick in honor of you changing my opinion. It goes LT, Reggie White. I mean, I'd love to pick Bruce Smith. I don't know that I've seen a defensive lineman like Reggie White, and that includes Aaron Donald, Joe Green. He's just a notch above. LT, Reggie White, Rod Woodson, who I just watched Bullies of Baltimore the other day, was a spectacular all-time corner and a spectacular safety. That's pretty unusual. And a return man extraordinaire. But for a defender, he's third. Aaron Donald, fourth. I had Deion Sanders, fifth. And the fact that Mel Blount was an elite cover guy who changed the rules and a destructive physical force puts him ahead of Deion for me.
Yeah, I see a drastic difference between those two. Deion, to me, is the best cover corner who ever lived. You know, I mean, I know Darrell Revis, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer on Saturday, is one of the all-time greats. But Deion, to me, is the cover guy. But he never made a tackle in his whole career, I don't think.
Yeah.
Mel changed the game. He could do it all. And that's why I put Mel as the best corner. He couldn't cover like Deion, but his overall game was better.
Falsey?
See, I agree with a lot of the names you guys brought in there. But for me, the skewing younger and seeing him for his entire career, this is where the bias comes in. Is that Troy Polamalu cracks the top five for me. Of defensive players that I've ever seen.
Not a bad call at all.
Not a bad call. Here's what I always said about Troy to support your position. And you might have me rethinking Rod Woodson even. They used to compare Troy to Ed Reed all the time. Ed Reed, probably the best center fielder I've ever seen, safety.
Yeah.
But I don't know that any player on this whole list that we mentioned or any defensive back certainly I've ever seen affects more plays in your playbook from a quarterback sneak.
Impact.
From a quarterback sneak to a 70-yard bomb, Troy could defend either and all in between. He could blow up a screen. He could cover your tight end. He could jump over a pile and snuff your quarterback. He affected more plays in the offensive playbook than anybody, and I'm changing my call. And thank
everywhere.
You, Falsey.
Yeah.
I didn't think of him. I'm changing. Rod Woodson's out, and Deion Sanders is out. And Troy and Mel Blount are in, and I thank you both for that.
Troy's a great call.
You and know, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Maybe nobody had an impact like he did.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, I mean, LT had the greatest impact of all time for me. That guy just was unbelievable. But other than that, I could argue for Troy.
I mean, he was all over the field at all times.
All times.
And I agree with you on Ed Reed, too. They were different players, but Ed Reed was the ultimate ball hawk.
Remember when B.A. got into trouble for saying he thought he was the best safety instead of Troy?
Yes.
And B.A. was on the staff. He got in a lot of heat for that.
Yes, he did. Who else, Falsey?
Are we talking guys that I just saw personally? Like, yes. I didn't see their careers?
Yes.
Aaron Donald cracks that list for me. I did see the back half of Deion Sanders, more of like the second half of it, and Rod Woodson. You know, those guys were in the back half of their careers, so they probably make it for me as well. So how many is that? Three,
that's four.
No J.J. Watt?
None of us picked J.J. Watt. I almost picked T.J. Watt.
Three-time defensive player of the
year. Yeah, he probably should crack the list.
Thank you, Falsey. I almost picked T.J. Watt. In fact, I had him written in because
there's been so many great ones.
It's not really necessarily career accomplishment like the discussion we got into yesterday. I forget who we were discussing. Oh, Mahomes. It's about, I have a game to win today, and I get to pick anybody in their prime. T.J. Watt is an absolute game destroyer.
His brother was pretty good, too.
Yeah, but his brother, well, you're right. I don't know. Well, yeah, you're right.
Defensive player of the year.
Well, T.J. should be two-time defensive player of the year, yeah, and he got hurt.
Yeah, you're right.
If I had to choose between the two, I might take T.J. I don't think I could go wrong. T.J. is one of the top 10 defensive players I've ever seen.
His numbers match J.J.'s through his beginning of his career.
I'll say this, in terms of destructive outside linebackers, LT, T.J. Watt.
Does it bother you at all that he's never done anything in a playoff game? His stats have been horrible. He's only played in, what, three or four or five?
Well, you can't say he's never done anything. He sacked Mahomes, picked it up, and ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's true.
I hear what you're saying. Dan Marino only won 8 playoff games
in his whole career. I know. I just ask if it dampened your enthusiasm at all.
No.
Okay.
No. I think that's a function of, well, he's, how many has he been in?
Not that many.
Two? Three?
No, he was, I think he's been in at least three.
I'd have to think about that, Ron.
Jacksonville, Cleveland, Denver.
That's always a tricky question because, yes, playoff resumes enhance your overall resume, right? That's J.J. Watt, I guess. Maybe I'm prejudiced against Watt because I never saw him on the biggest stage,
no,
I feel
right.
like.
You're right. And a guy like
Actually, you're right on that.
A guy like Mel, you know, four Super Bowls, interception.
Right.
I mean, just, yeah. Mel was so great for me.
I mean, Marino's a top five quarterback. Would you agree?
And never won a Super Bowl. Never got one. Got to one.
That's an interesting point. Meanwhile, a prominent receiver retires. And also, we never got around to Sean Payton's comment how all this could impact the Steelers. Let's talk about
that. The Sean Payton thing, I almost wanted to kiss him. It was such a great, great response to the question. We'll tease to that.
We just did, Ron, and it was an expert tease by you. All right, the story we were getting to here was Sean Payton, new coach in Denver, and Russell Wilson apparently had his own entourage around Denver in what was one of the strangest years for a quarterback that I ever remember. He just became very, very weird. And he had his own personal quarterback coach.
Tom Brady-like, right?
Yes. And Belichick put an end to that stuff eventually.
Yes, he did.
He had his own personal trainer, that one guy who was with him in
TB12. That's his partner.
Yeah. Well, this guy, Jake Heaps, is the guy Russell would have around all the time. And somebody asked Peyton yesterday in his introductory news conference if this guy would be around or where. He wasn't asked specifically about him, just how do you feel basically about a quarterback's coach who's not on the payroll here. And the fact that this guy was around last year. And he said, I'm not too familiar with that. That's foreign to me. That's not going to take place. I'm unfamiliar with it. Our staff will be here. Our players will be here. And that will be it.
I loved it. Now, he's part of the Belichick tree, right? He coached with Belichick and Parcells, I believe. I mean, you're paying these guys, your trainer, your equipment, your medical people. What if everyone wanted to bring in their own guy? That doesn't mean, I guess, on your own time they can't go to their own guy, right?
Sure.
Just doesn't make any sense to me. I love Peyton for saying it.
Now,
getting off to a good start right away, setting the tone with his new quarterback.
Now, if Russell Wilson was coming off a 45-touchdown season – with 10 picks, I bet you Sean Payton would say, I can't wait to meet Jake Heaps. Maybe I'll learn something from him. But not in this case. And this was very, very interesting. And here's the Pittsburgh angle.
Yeah, you said there's a Pittsburgh tie to all this.
At least a possible tie to Pittsburgh backup quarterbacks. What if Sean Payton is looking at this tape and determining this guy stinks right now and might never be the same again? If there's anywhere in the NFL that I could think of where a backup might be able to step in and play, where the new coach might prefer him, might this be a spot? Could he look at Mitch Trubisky tape and say, man, I'd like to have me a 1A, or even Jameis Winston? This guy's a quarterback whisperer. He got great stuff out of Winston. Remember? In New Orleans?
Yeah.
What about Mason? I think... And I'm not sure if he likes either one of those guys or any of the guys. My point is that Sean Payton is A, great with quarterbacks, and B, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the lookout for a 1A because he may look at Russell Wilson and say, this dude is shot.
Are they not tied to him, though, contractually? After giving up what they gave up to him.
That doesn't mean he won't play another guy.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Wilson, right?
Yeah. They are. They are absolutely contractually tied to him. But if Peyton deems that he stinks, he's going to bring his own guy in, or at least an alternative who's better than Brett Rippon.
Or I wouldn't be surprised if he spends a surprisingly early pick on a quarterback. You
that
know,
too.
If a Will Levis falls.
They're going to pick high, right?
Yeah.
That
even,
too.
Even
or no, they gave up their pick to get Russell Wilson. They don't have number one pick, right?
When do the Broncos? Well, yeah, that's true. When do the Broncos draft this year? That's my question.
Good question. I think they gave it up to Seattle. Amid other picks.
they don't draft until the third round.
Right.
Now they have two. Well, they have two picks in the top 68 of the draft. So you could easily take a quarterback in there somewhere, but it ain't going to be one of the top ones unless they make some sort of trade. But Sean Payton, to me, is going to want to have a backup plan, a real plan beyond Brett Rypien. And if the Steelers were to cut ties with Trubisky, that could be interesting.
Wonder if our old boy, horsey boy, is excited about having Sean Payton. I'll bet he is.
Who wouldn't be?
I'll bet he is. But I don't care. The greatest coach in the world, if Russell Wilson shot, isn't going to do any good with him.
Right. Well, maybe he can do it with somebody else. What was his record with Jameis Winston? Anybody remember?
I just remember when Winston hurt his knee in a game against Tampa, and B.A. came across the field and said, "How's Jameis?" And Payton said, "Bad." And the B.A. was just, the looks on their face was so sad. They knew he was hurt bad.
So his last year there, they were 12-4, but Breeze actually played that year. Now, they got off to a great start the next year, but only finished 9-8 because Winston got hurt. He had to go to a backup. Winston actually got off to a pretty good start that year. So I'll be interested to see what Payton does with the other quarterback. What other options are out there? Can you guys think of somebody who was sort of in Brissett, who was sort of in Trubisky's position last year, where you thought maybe nobody's gotten as much out of him as his talent would suggest? Mariota? Boy, maybe still Winston?
He looks so bad against the Steelers.
He just can't throw the ball.
That's tough, which is problematic. Quality,
yeah.
Tough quality for a quarterback if he can't throw the ball.
Problematic. Now,
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Ron. Is he damaged goods at this point to the point where you'd get him cheap? Because they got to get somebody cheap with what they're paying Russell.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Where does Garoppolo wind up, and do you find him desirable, either of you?
I would find him desirable as a backup. Yeah.
Oh, as a backup?
Yeah.
Would you bring him in as a starter?
I can't put him ahead of Russell Wilson until I actually see Russell Wilson play again.
I mean, anywhere, for any team. Do you still think, would he be an attractive starter for you?
I'm sure there's probably a couple teams out there that could use him.
Would you bring him in for your team, Folsy?
Not as a starter, no. He feels like very, not in the same style, obviously, but Mitch Trubisky level of play, where I wouldn't trust him as my starter. Because I think San Francisco got the most out of him in that system with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And if he goes somewhere else, I don't think he's even as effective as he was in San Fran.
I think he's a low-end starter. I do.
Yeah.
I think he's a low-end starter. Maybe even he's a mid-tier starter, isn't he?
Yeah, I would put him somewhere 15 to 20, maybe.
I mean, when you actually look.
And I would think it'd be a pretty high-tier backup.
Yeah. I don't think he'd go anywhere. I still think somebody would sign him as a starter. I really do.
He's the ultimate game manager.
He's had, like, you know, 3 passer ratings of over 100.
You don't build your offense around him, but he can win you some games.
Here's a stat for you guys. Depending on how much you passer rating. You ready for this one? Are you ready for this, Ron?
We're ready.
Take a seat.
I am sitting.
All-time passer rating in the NFL. Anybody want to take a gander as to who's won?
I know. I just wrote it. Mahomes.
Mahomes is one. 105.7. Followed by Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, and one James Garoppolo.
No Tom Brady on that list.
He's 10th. 6th
now,
all
is
time.
Is this after last year? Russell Wilson is still that high after his play last year?
Russell Wilson.
This is up to date, right?
Yeah. Russell Wilson had one of the great careers. He's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Russell Wilson had seasons of 40 touchdowns and 13 picks, 31-5, 35-7, 34-8. Ron. This guy could have 5 bad years.
Won a Super Bowl. Should have won a second one.
Should have won a second, if not for his
coach.
Idiotic decision by his coach. Well, how much do you value passer rating?
I do. I think it's important.
Do you, Falsey?
I do. I mean, I feel like it's kind of a, I don't know, it makes me wonder that these guys are all modern day guys that are atop that quarterback rating list. I mean, is that all time that you just read?
Yeah. All time. That's why I have severe questions
about
passer
rating.
Yeah, I
wonder if it's catered to...
It's catered to guys who I think avoid picks.
Avoid interceptions is the number one thing.
But any list on which Peyton Manning is 14th, Ben is 19th, Joe Montana is 22nd is not very valuable to me. It really isn't. I think it's a very flawed metric.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Something's off there.
Yeah. If Kirk Cousins and Garoppolo are in your top 10 and the other guy and Dak Prescott is in your ahead of Tom Brady, something's very wrong, Ron, I think.
I have the formula. I used it to look up the other day. I mean, it's attempts, completions, yards, touchdowns, interceptions.
Yeah.
And then it's all factored into a formula.
The formula is the problem. What it accents. I mean, again,
if you have no interceptions, no matter what else you do,
right,
it's pretty good.
And if you have a high completion percentage,
that's,
like if you're just
it really values that.
Dumping off 10-yard passes all the time.
Yeah, it really values that. It's just, again, if Brady's 10th and Dak Prescott is 9th, there's a problem. And if Kirk Cousins is ahead of both of them. So it's flawed, but it's still valuable. I mean, usually if you finish with 100-plus, you've probably had a good game, but there are probably a lot of metrics that would indicate that. I've never studied the ESPN one. I don't know how they do that.
That's
do you?
Just pass rating or something, right?
QBR, yeah.
It's much different.
Speaking of all of this, Trent Dilfer took shots at some quarterbacks in the Bullies of Baltimore. I'll tell you who and what exactly he said next on Cook and Joe Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Silverado's, Colorado's. Back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. Showers in the PM, but a high of 54 today. Isn't that interesting?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.